John chapter 16, our theme verse for the consideration of these points that are here. And so I ask you to turn your Bibles, if you will, again to John 16. Appreciate your prayers for me. I'll be glad when whatever flavor pollen it is that's bugging me gets out of the area and goes on to somewhere else. I've been saying Arkansas, but generally the wind doesn't blow from Kentucky to Arkansas, does it? So maybe send it on over to what's west of Kentucky? Virginia and the Carolinas, maybe? And so blow it over there, blow it out in the ocean. I'm ready. But until then, may the Lord just help us. And I'm glad that you're here. I know it's a sleepy day. It's a yawny day and maybe a nappy day and a tired day. May the Lord help us so we just focus upon Him and Lord, give us help and strength in it. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Here in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you," the Lord speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to His church, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come," He's got some things that He's going to do. "He will reprove the world of sin. He's going to convince the world. He's going to show the world. He's going to put the argument that can't be knocked down. There may be those and will be those that will fuss against it, cry against it, and say that it's not so. There will be the naysayers, but the Spirit, the Comforter, is going to truthfully and righteously, rightly reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me." No need for a solution for sin. Men, Brother Cecil Fayard at a men's conference up at Trinity Friday night preached a message about moral relativism. Moral relativism, that the morality, what's right and what's wrong, is based upon the conditions and situations that you're in. Situation ethics, if you will. It's not true. The righteousness is based on the righteousness of God, and it is absolute. "Of sin, because they believe not on me," and the world doesn't believe about sin. Man naturally does not believe that he owes or has any transgression against anyone. He's his own God. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." The righteousness of the Son, and that it's evidenced in His fulfilling that which was God the Father gave Him to do, so that His people could be redeemed, so sinners could be saved, so there'd be a way of salvation for mankind. It is evidence that He has completed such because He is there at the right hand of the Father, with the Father again. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And we're going to see a little bit about that second part today, but we're going to concentrate yet again on this subject of judgment. I mentioned to you last time, Brother Jim, why would you take so much time in talking about judgment? Why would you do so and try to be so extensive and exhaustive about the scriptures? Well, generally, those that need to know about the judgment, you know, we that are saved, we need to know about it, because understand, everything that we've addressed in the judgment and then what the scripture bears out about the judgment of God, we've been saved from.
Amen.
It's a point of glorying and praising God for how He saved us. He's delivered us from these things. And the Lord is not a fire escape, all right? That's the way the gospel is preached today and has been for some time, that Jesus is just a fire escape. It's manifested in people's lives after they say they've been saved, but there's no power in their life. There's no change in their life. There's no desire for the one that has rescued us from hell, rescued that they claim has rescued them from hell. There's no desire that they have to follow the Lord, serve the Lord. Because listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus was found always and has been with His church. Amen. And it is in His church that the children of God and the people of God are expected to serve Him in. It's what baptism is all about, and joining the church. So we've been saved from these things. But we'd also would want to address these things about the judgment of God and take a look at them and take a look at the accounts in the scripture, so that you that are here without Christ as your Savior will know where you're heading if you die in the condition that you're in. This is where you're going to be there. You're going to see these things. You're going to experience these things. And as we saw in the beginning of this in John chapter 5, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, judgment has been given to him. Why? Because he's the Son of Man. Because he did become a man. That he is God, manifest in the flesh. That God did condescend to becoming a man for the sake of his people to bring salvation. He is the judge because he is the Son of Man, and because he is the Savior.
Right, amen.
When the sinner, when the unrepentant sinner, the one that is diabolical to the gospel and to the Lord and to his word, stands before God in that day, he will stand before the very Savior that he has rejected. I say he, she has rejected. There won't be another party involved. It'll be you and the Lord. I tell you, bow the knee to him now.
Amen.
Bow the knee to him now and repent of your sins and trust in him. In Isaiah 63, we've looked and we saw about that treading of the winepress alone. And this one that came from Edom, this one that came from Bozra and had his clothes all splattered with this blood, and how it tells there that he was treading, he's treading and will tread that winepress of the wrath of Almighty God alone. We don't like to think about Jesus that way. The modern world doesn't want to think about Jesus that way. But as just as much as loving and gracious and merciful as he is, he will deal with sin, and there will be wrath of God poured out by him. By him. It'll be manifested and meted out in him. So I invite you to turn over to Revelation chapter 20. We took a look at Revelation 19 last time, and we saw how it was there, as Jude had said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. We saw in Isaiah that there's this one that's told about that the day of the vengeance of God Almighty is in his heart, and the day of his saints has come. He's going to avenge his saints and mete out the judgment and justice of God upon wickedness and sin. And we saw it clarified in chapter 19 that it is Jesus. He's got on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Where's the captain? There he is on the white horse. And he's got the sword of his mouth. And he's invited the animals, the birds, the beasts of the earth to come to a great feast. Those that have gathered themselves against Jerusalem there, that one day, oh, it's moving that way, isn't it? May God help Israel. May the Lord God Almighty help his nation and help his people. And may God help us as a nation, that the United States of America would never turn our back upon Israel. I tell you, we need to pray for it. We need to pray for it. We need to in the system in which we have. We've been blessed with the governmental system that we have. We have a part in our government. I tell you, get a hold of who it is that represents you and tell them what you think and what you believe ought to be done from the standpoint of the government.
Amen.
I called one that represents us in this area, and I left a message that I was disappointed in his vote for gambling in our state. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, you better be doing it yourself. You better, because our government has slipped out of our hands, and it is slipping further out of our hands.
Right.
And if the people of God don't stand for what's right, remember what it said, the Comforter is going to reprove the world of these things. How's it going to happen? Well, it's going to be through his people in his churches.
Amen. Right.
So communicate with them. I left the message for him. I was disappointed. He should have not have voted for gambling.
Amen.
Because gambling is wicked and it's against God.
Amen.
It is. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And people that claim to be saved are gambling.
Right.
And don't be buying lottery tickets, and don't be pitching pennies, and don't be gambling for Cokes at work. Because the people of God should not be involved in stuff. Don't be buying raffle tickets.
Amen.
It's gambling. We don't need to be involved in that. Boy, how do we get off on that? Revelation chapter 20, look here. Yeah, it is there. This one has come. The saints are with him on these horses. We come as spectators to see this war that the Lord metes out upon the inhabitants of the earth. And it said there in verse 21 of chapter 19, "And the remnant which were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." That's coming. The world's going to gather against Jerusalem, and it's going to look like she's going to be done. The part of the city will have fallen, and those that are there of his nation that the Lord will redeem at his coming, it's going to look like it's over with. It's going to look like it's just on the verge of being done. But the Lord will remember the promise that he's made. He set his name in Jerusalem. He's put his name there, and it always will be. He'll never let it fail. Then in chapter 20, verse 1, "And I, John," he says, as the Lord gives him this revelation, "and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." And notice this angel is not a mighty angel, as has been referred to in other passages in Revelation, but just an angel. Okay? If there's any distinction between them, the scripture seems to make such. "And he laid hold on the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet." They've been cast without judgment into the lake of fire. The place of the second death, as this passage is going to bear out unto us. And now the third person of the unholy Trinity is grabbed a hold by that angel. Amen. And bound with a chain.
Amen.
He doesn't look too strong, does he? As a matter of fact, he looks pretty weak.
Amen.
Says in Isaiah 14, I believe it is, it says that the inhabitants of the earth will look upon Satan and say, "Is this the one that troubled the nations? Is this the one that wreaked all this havoc and disobedience against God?" Satan is not the Lord's peer. He's his creation. And in the wisdom and power and just infinite understanding and working of God, he's allowed Satan some rope. But he only gets the rope that the Lord lets him. And whenever the Lord wants to reel him in, he's reeled in. We need to take comfort in that. Amen? And this angel lays hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. It's clarified there. "And bound him 1,000 years. What's that mean? He bound him for 1,000 years. Just like the years are ticking off now, right? Amen? Yeah, he bound him for 1,000 years. It doesn't mean anything else. Some believe that this has already happened. No, it hadn't happened yet. It will happen. "And cast him into the bottomless pit, a pit where he would be there bound with that chain, falling and falling and falling and falling and falling for 1,000 years. He's going to be preoccupied, isn't he? He's not going to be able to go around and work the wickedness and the deception and the deceit. You know, Satan, what Satan does is he deceived Eve in the garden. Adam willfully went after the way of Satan, followed after the author of sin, followed after that sin because of covetousness and wanting something else that he thought God was holding out on him. And in that disobedience, Adam plunged each and every one of us into sin and wickedness and depravity in that. You know what? We can't lay our sin and our depravity upon Satan. He is the author of it. But you know what? We willingly went after it in Adam. See, just because Satan's going to be bound doesn't mean that sin's going to be done away with. Because the problem is us. It's in the heart, isn't it? In the factory of sin. And so there will be a reprieve from the wicked workings of Satan. "Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up," verse 3, "and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more," because he's been doing so. Satan is deceiving the nations now. It's happening now. Nobody in their right mind that would look on the Word of God and consider the great works of God that are borne out in the Bible and the Scripture would even think to turn their backs upon Israel and upon righteousness. But they are. Because as nations and as mankind goes, we're wise in our own conceits, aren't we? We think we know the way things are. And so he sets his seal upon him. He should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. What was it that Lord Jesus Christ said to the apostles? James and John's mom wanted him to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom. The Lord said, those aren't mine to give. He says, while you're here on this earth, there won't be any hierarchy amongst you, your brethren. And yes, I've put some leadership in the churches, but the way of the operation of the church is by the church under the directive and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, what I do have for you is you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging Israel. Right? Remember that? Yeah. And John saw them. They sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And they were beheaded for the word of God. And they were beheaded because they had not worshipped the beast, nor his image, the great statue, the great image that had been set up, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You know, if we're not faithful, you know, and I don't know how bad it's going to get before the Lord takes us out of here. But you know what? If we're not faithful in simple things, we're not going to be faithful in a great thing. Don't kid yourself. May the Lord help us not to kid ourselves. If we're not faithful in a little thing, we're not going to be faithful in a great thing. There won't just be a magic switch. That'll just happen. The Lord says and makes it very clear that he that is faithful in least will be given more. Because why? Because he took stock in the necessity of being faithful in that which was little. The Lord goes on to say, how will it be if one is not faithful in a little that is another's? The doctrine we receive from the Lord we're to be faithful in, aren't we? How will it be that one would give him something of his own so he would have it? We need to be faithful in what we understand out of the Scripture. And there's plenty that we understand, right? It's plain. And these, he saw these that were martyred for the sake of the Lord. They didn't receive the mark. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There are those that have come with him. There are those that have been martyred. And they're there upon this earth for 1,000 years with our Lord. See, what's happening in this is that the kingdom of God is being revealed to all. And in that course, the course of from the time that the Lord takes the saints out and the 7 years that has preceded these events that we're reading about now, the judgment of God is just being opened up more and more and more and more. Why is Jesus going to rule with a rod of iron? Because when somebody gets out of line, he's going to crack them with it. Yeah, I think about a rod of iron. I should have brought that. I've got a pry bar over there at the house. It's a piece of drill rod used in mines to drill for retaining bolts for the roof. That thing stands about this tall from the lower floor there, and it's about an inch and an eighth diameter. I tell you what, it's heavy. You don't want it falling over and hitting you anywhere. I mean, a rod, he's going to mean it. That it took that thing, if a man took that thing and swung it, I'd break your arm, break your leg, crack your head. When the Lord reigns from Jerusalem, there'll be no rebuttal. But all do what he wants to be done. And the thing is he won't be an oppressive king, will he? He'll be a righteous king. And he's going to show it. He's going to show the lost world that remains that by obeying the simple word of God, there is blessing even for the heathen.
Amen.
I believe that's what he's going to show. And this earth is going to be blessed and reformed, if you will, in a great way. It says here in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The Lord comes back and is on this earth. Somehow, in some way, from the time that he came And the rapture, as we call it, it tells us about that in the book of Thessalonians, how those that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord won't prevent those that are asleep in the Lord, but they'll come up from the graves. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them. And those that die during that time of the tribulation for the sake of Christ that are martyred with him, the Lord will bring them somehow during that time. And I believe that whole span of that time is that first resurrection. You get down to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way it is, and the return of the Lord, the way it is with the soul, is the way that it's going to be. It's done. Salvation, the time of salvation, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those Jews that it seems that the Scripture bears out that he's going to save in that day, that first resurrection, it's done. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The lake of fire. No power.
That's right.
Well, don't even go to a venue where it's even going to be decided about where you go there or not. Why? Because we're there with the Lord.
Amen.
We're clothed in those white robes and those white garments. We've come with him on those horses. We're there with our Lord to do his bidding and to watch him. Watch him rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And then the contrast, those that are there upon the earth that have lived all through the tribulation, lived through that time of that gathering of the nations against Israel, that lived through all that, they will be there subject to Christ, but they're occupants of the land. They're not children. We're children. They are not. If you live through to that time and do not repent of your sins and not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you make it to that time, you're not a child of God. That's sober, but it is the truth. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, elevated to be the servant of the Lord, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I tell you, I look forward to that. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, out of the bottomless pit. The chain will be taken off. And after the 1,000 years of those that will be living there, and it says that, in the Old Testament scriptures, it talks about it, and we'll see that, I believe, in Zechariah, that a child, one will be considered a child at 100 years old. And an old man is going to be hundreds of years old, I think is the implication. And those that lived through the tribulation and that were born during that time of that 1,000-year reign and were just were blessed with the blessing of Jesus ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from Jerusalem. They've experienced all the blessing of the Lord for centuries. Can you imagine that? Centuries, to live for centuries? Satan's going to be loosed. And the depravity of man is once again going to be shown, isn't it? And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which were in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Why? Why are they as the sand of the sea? Why is the number so great? Because the blessing of the Lord upon the earth as he's ruled and reigned from Jerusalem, his blessing has just been prolific. It's just been marvelous. No doubt, as those nations will come and bring their honor and glory to Jerusalem, the Scripture says if they don't, they won't get the rain and they'll have nothing to eat. But there will be those that will submit and they'll experience that great blessing from God. No telling in that 1,000 years after the destruction of the 7-year tribulation, but then the Lord coming and ruling and reigning, no telling what the condition of this earth is going to be. It won't be Eden. But I wonder if it won't be likened to Eden. The Lord will be able to give instruction about how to make things grow well and how to make things done right and how to build and how to do things. His hand won't be off of it, but it'll be at His directive. And it'll be the great, great thousand-year testimony that God's right. And His way is pure. And His way is a blessing. It'll be that thousand-year testimony that you can believe God and trust Him. He doeth all things well. But man has rejected that. Satan will be loosed. And what's his message going to be? As many as there are of us now and what we've got now, we can get God this time. We can snuff out Jerusalem this time. He goes out and deceives them again. They say, yeah, let's do it. The Lord's just going to back off again. I tell you, understand, we, mankind, we're depraved. We are depraved. We are a wicked, filthy rag of nothing from the standpoint of ourselves. You're here, if you're here without Christ as your Savior, you are depraved and wicked. And you need to repent of that before the Lord. You're guilty. Yes, maybe you've been taught character by your parents. You've been taught out of the Word of God. And it well should be. There's no other way to instruct a child. And you have conformed in obedience to your parents. That should be right. That it's right. That's the way God says that it should be. But listen, there's only one solution for your heart. And it's not the reforming of your ways, but it's your submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In your heart. Repent. You're guilty. And believe and trust in Him. And they shall go out, and shall go out and deceive the nations, verse 8, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went out on the breadth of the earth, went up upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Like that. Boom! They didn't come together in just, I don't believe, a matter of days or a matter of weeks. The Lord backing off and allowing Satan to be loosed and then allowing whatever time it took. That gathering from all the quarters of the earth, it took some time. And then the Lord once again showed His power. Whew. And destroyed them. And the devil, verse 10, that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Pretty uneventful, huh? No judgment is listed there, is it? He's just taken like the beast and the false prophet were. The last part of the unholy Trinity is cast in the lake of fire that's been prepared for him. Cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Listen to that. Fire, brimstone, tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. There'll be no end to it ever, 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 ever. Magma, thick, burning fire in a body fitted for destruction will be there. That soul will be there forever and ever. After a million years, it'll still be there. Still be there. And it won't be a play place. As one man said, when he gets to hell, he's going to team up with his bodies and put together a dog track, blasphemy against God. And unless the Lord visited that man and saved him, he's there now, and he's in hell now, and he knows the truth. No fun time in hell. Right. Satan's not going to be running around with his pitchfork as God's agent tormenting sinners. He's going to be suffering at the bottom of it. Right. The judgment of God. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. I want you to hold your finger right here, and I want to remind you of this over in John chapter 5. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says during the time of his ministry and what the Lord writes in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Don't marvel not that the Lord saves sinners, but listen to this, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. At the point that we're reading over here in Revelation, that's happened, it's done. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Back in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. The Bible, I believe, and the book of life, which is the book of life, as it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's all they've got. That's all you have is your works. And they are filthy and unrighteous before God. Listen to this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, the grave. And they were judged every man according to their works. You know what? Your works will not stand in any comparison. My works as a man, in and of myself, will not stand up at all to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, those that will be there at the great white throne judgment, they'll be before the standard. And their works that they'll be judged by, out of the book of life and out of the books of the Bible, I believe, their works will be laid out there and be reviewed. And it'll be evident that they don't compare to the righteousness of Christ. They'll be judged by their works. Isn't that what it says? And their works won't meet up. Their words won't meet up to what the Scripture says. Their works won't meet up from the standpoint of what's written in the book of life. Their name's not being written there. And their works won't meet up before the judge. Your works and what you can do and what you can try will not save your soul. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need the Savior before you meet the judge. You need the Savior before you stand before the judge. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, verse 13. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. No more dying. No more dying in the Lord's creation. No more grave in the Lord's creation. They're cast into that place of the lake of fire also. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Turn over here to Revelation chapter 21, verse number 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, Jesus speaking, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, yeah, I understand what it is to be afraid of the coming judgment of God. I understand, we all do, about being fearful of death. You can't go to a funeral home. You can't go to visitation at a funeral home and not think about yourself lying there, your body lying there. It's just the way it is. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ says, life is in me. And will we fear, will you fear to trust him thinking, I don't think he can do it. I really don't believe he can accomplish it. The fearful are going to be cast into the lake of fire. The fearful and the unbelieving. Interesting that those are the first two things that are listed. Not the adulterer, not the whoremonger, not the thief, but the fearful and the unbelieving. See, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say, reckon about me and determine whether I am a good enough Savior or not. He commands, repent and believe the gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection. Because see, with the Lord, it's a fact. He knows He's the Savior, right? He knows He's trustworthy. And you that are here and not saved, you need to believe and know that He is trustworthy. He says here, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars which shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The judgment of God. Are you ready for Jesus Christ to appear? Will you not hear the message that the Lord has promised that we've read there several times in John chapter 16, that the Comforter in the midst of the church and the people of God is going to reprove the world of judgment? Judgment is coming. And you're going to be there. You're going to be at this judgment that we've looked at there in Revelation 20 and what we read in the next chapter. You're going to be there if you don't receive Christ. Trust in Him. We pray for you. We pray the Lord will help you, the Lord will give you eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to believe. Hear the message, because there's going to come a time that the message is going to be done. There's going to come a time to the end of your life. No, not a one of us have got the promise of the next hour, do we? Now, today is the day, now is the today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Trust, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.